fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association finals resume later Wednesday night in Oakland, California. That's where the defending champion Golden State Warriors will host the Toronto Raptors in Game 3 of the Best of 7 Championship Series, which is tied at 1-1. With a look back at Game 2 in Toronto, here's the AP's John Lethierby.
The Warriors' 109-104 victory came as a result of a Raptors drought to start the second half. Golden State scored the first 18 points of the third quarter, easily erasing a 5-point Toronto halftime lead. The Splash Brothers were front and center in the win. Klay Thompson had 25 points before leaving with a hamstring injury. Steph Curry added 23 points, 7 of those in that third quarter.
Everybody's involved, whether they're scoring or setting screens or, you know, making the assist or whatever the case is. Everybody feels good, and the vibe is just solid.
Kawhi Leonard was the game and Toronto's high scorer. He had 34 points, including going 16 for 16 from the free throw line. Game 3 is in Oakland on Wednesday night. John Lethierby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. John mentioned how Kawhi Leonard was Toronto's high scorer in Game 2 with 34 points. Kawhi says it's crucial the Raptors get off to a good start in Oakland in Game 3.
I got the sixth man with the crowd, but you know, just have to buy into ourselves and, you know, come out hard, strong, no mistakes, no turnovers, and you know, the same thing you got to do at home.
That's three-time NBA All-Star Kawhi Leonard of the Toronto Raptors. Kawhi is known not just for his scoring, but for his defense. In fact, Kawhi won the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year award consecutively in 2015 and 2016. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Nigeria Basketball Federation says officials have completed the scouting of prospective players for the national team in the United States and Europe ahead of the FIBA World Cup in China. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Lagos.
Babs Ogunade is the vice president of the Nigeria Basketball Federation. He says the federation is determined to ensure that the country's men's national basketball team, also known as the Tigers, do well at the FIBA World Cup. Nigeria is in Group B with Argentina, Russia, and South Korea at the World Cup to be hosted by China from August 30th to September 16th. Ogunade says the scouting team set up by the federation visited the United States of America and Europe to look for Nigerian basketball players.
In preparing for the World Cup, our coaches and the board members have been involved in scouting for all players. We will prepare. We have a good crop of athletes that we have invited. The scouting team just came back. We have about 8 NBA players who have signified their interest to come. We're speaking to them. The reason why they have come is because they also know that we have changed the narrative. We have spoken with these players. Some of them in the NBA, some of them playing in Europe, and of course from the crop of players that had qualified us for the World Cup before now. So we are putting together a collage of all of these players.
The top official of the Nigeria Basketball Federation says Grade A international friendly games have been arranged for the national team to prepare them for the World Cup.
We have different styles of playing basketball, and I'm sure that that is one of the reasons why we have put together programs where our team will be playing different teams from different areas of the world to look at the style of play. We are playing in Dominican Republic, which is not a regular basketball style that we are probably used to. We are playing in Canada. That's one of the programs that we have put out to prepare our team for the World Cup.
Ogunade says the Nigerian team will also play Poland and Montenegro before the World Cup. He says the team will return to Nigeria to camp and play some friendlies at home. On the Basketball Africa League, introduced by the National Basketball Association, Ogunade says the program will raise the standard of the game in the continent. He says players and FIBA member countries and basketball community in Africa will benefit from the league.
It's something that we will work assiduously for it to succeed. But I do not think that it is a bad thing for the NBA to come into Africa. No, it can only benefit Africa. To that extent, I am hoping that whatever it is that the NBA and FIBA will do will ultimately be to the benefit of Africa, Nigerians, and basketball at large.
The NBA has appointed Amadou Gallofol, a Senegalese, as the president of the Basketball Africa League.
I think now having this elite professional league complete the pathway to grow the entire ecosystem. This is really what we set out to do. We wanted to grow the sport, not just at grassroots level. That was an important step, but now linking it all the way up to the professional ranks. And I'm very excited about the opportunity to continue the building process.
The league will feature 12 clubs in Africa and will begin next year. This is Mike Mbonye for the Sunny Side of Sports in Lagos, Nigeria.
Thanks, Iron Mike. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Both the NBA and FIBA say the new Basketball Africa League will be a showcase to grow new talented players with the support of Africa-born former NBA stars like Dikembe Mutombo. Young players are already getting support to move up to the next level. Elizabeth Casimir reports from Luanda, Angola.
Former NBA star and Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo has helped set up an NBA-supported clinic to train and observe new talent in Luanda, the capital of Angola, where he made a visit last week.
It's all about tomorrow.
Dikembe is following his roots as he was born and grew up in Kinshasa, a 45-minute flight from here before he became an NBA All-Star.
I think my presence means a lot to show to the young people who are playing the game here that we still care about them, we're following them, we want them to succeed. And we want the game of basketball to continue to grow in the continent.
The clinic has been organized by Will Voigt, an American basketball coach who is currently the head coach of the Angola national basketball team. After training Nigeria, he is now helping Angola to build the next generation of players.
So we're trying as best we can to give them a fair opportunity to learn, to grow. And we've already seen, you know, what players from the continent can do when given that.
Olumide Oyedeji, one of the former NBA players who came with Dikembe, believes that African basketball is growing and that it has overcome the times when the game was dominated by a few countries like Angola and Egypt. He hopes one day an African national team may reach the FIBA World Top 10.
I believe we have a chance. We have to just continue, keep playing, keep getting better. They said the journey of 1,000 might start with a step. I believe we're taking the right step.
As the search for new talent takes place, Angola hosted the final of the FIBA Africa Basketball League 2019. Local home team Primeiro de Agosto won the competition, beating Association Sportive de Salé 83-71 to get a record 9th African title.
The concept of this is Africa. It's not a national. It's Africa at all. This is why we give opportunity for the teams to have a part of foreign players, to have two African teams, two African players.
The new league, to be known as the Basketball Africa League, or BAL, is scheduled to play in January with 12 teams from across Africa. The teams will be chosen through regional competitions and the top teams will advance to the BAL. For VOA News, Elizabeth Casimiro from Luanda.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, two of the greatest men's players are getting ready for a French Open showdown in Paris. Joining us with that story is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer are set to renew their on-court rivalry in a much-anticipated semifinal match. Nadal made a smooth entrance into the semis after a straight-set win against Japan's Kei Nishikori. And afterwards, Nadal said he looks forward to his next match against Federer.
Personally, for me, the main thing has been the semifinals. No, then the way that I have been playing have been going is very positive. I have been playing well, solid, winning good matches against tough opponents like today. So I'm happy with that. Of course, after having Roger in front in the semifinals is an extra thing. We shared it. The most important moments of our careers together on court, facing each other. So it's another episode of this. I'm happy for that and excited. Now it will be a special moment, and let's try to be ready for it.
The number two seed will face Federer on Friday for the 39th time and the first time in 2 years. Nadal leads 23-15 in head-to-head duels overall and 5-0 at Roland Garros. But despite his edge, Nadal says he's never sure what to expect from Federer.
There is no two matches the same, you know, and all the matches are different because we always try things. Let's see what's going on. I really expect that he's going to play aggressive, changing rhythms, going to the net. That's my feeling that he's going to try to play that way because he's playing well and he has the tennis to make that happen.
Nadal says he's pleased with his performance at the French Open tournament, and the Spanish star says he'll use the time before the match to clear his head.
2 days off is the moment to stay a little bit away of all of this, and you know, after tomorrow start a little bit. No, yes, tomorrow is, you know, to be a little bit the freedom, you know, with the mind clear, enjoying family and practicing a little bit, but without many goals. Probably tomorrow, just to move a little bit the body, and after tomorrow start to think about what we want to do. No, but it's always a big match against him. You know, the level of tennis that you need to play always is the highest, and I am playing well, but I need to play very well against him, so I hope to be ready to make that happen.
Roger Federer has reached a record-extending 44th Grand Slam semifinal, but his advance into the semis was an uphill battle. The world number two Swiss needed to step up his game against countryman Stan Wawrinka, and Federer says it's now time to solve the puzzle of his next opponent.
I got 2 days, which I guess is a good thing. You know, it's better than one. It's better than none. So from that standpoint, I get more left-handed practice, more serves and all that stuff, because I guess I've played five guys now, you know, that are righties. So for me, it's a complete switch around. And it just, you know, the way the ball goes out of your strings with the different spins, it's just different, so you have to get used to that quickly. Don't have much time to waste, and that's why you have to be fearless to some extent, you know, to take on the spinny balls, the sliding balls, the kicking balls, you know, and that's what I will do on Friday.
And Federer needs to do it on the clay court, where Nadal is known to dominate. The last time Federer beat Nadal on clay was in 2009 in Madrid. And he says it's known that if you want to win a clay court title, you have to first get through Rafael Nadal.
Like against any player, there is always a chance. Otherwise, nobody will be in the stadium to watch because everybody already knows the result in advance. And I think sport does that to you, that every match needs to be played before it's decided. And that's exactly what everybody believes by facing Rafa. They know it's going to be tough, but you just never know. He might have a problem. He might be sick. You never know. And you might be playing great, or for some reason he's struggling. Maybe there's incredible wind, rain, 10 rain delays. You just don't know. And that's why you need to put yourself in that position. For me to get to Rafa is not simple. It took 5 matches here for me to get there. And that's why I'm very happy to play Rafa, because if you want to do or achieve something on the clay, inevitably at some stage you will go through Rafa because he's that strong and he will be there. So I knew that when I signed up for the clay that hopefully that's going to happen. If I would have had a different mindset to avoid him, then I should not have played the clay. So I think by that mindset, I think it helped me to play so well so far this tournament.
The two men take center stage on Friday. Roger Federer is aiming to win the French Open title for a second time, while Rafael Nadal is going for title number 12. Stay tuned, sports fans. And that's all from me for now. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In Paris Wednesday, Gianni Infantino was re-elected as president of football's world governing body, FIFA, for a second term. The bald-headed 49-year-old Swiss-Italian was re-elected until 2023 without opposition at FIFA's annual Congress in the French capital. Infantino succeeded Sepp Blatter in 2016, and his re-election on Wednesday was marked by a round of applause. In a lengthy speech at the Congress, Infantino focused on the relative calm of his first term in charge compared to the situation he inherited. The FIFA president said, and I quote, "Nobody talks about crisis at FIFA anymore or rebuilding it from scratch. Nobody talks about scandals or corruption. We talk about football. We can say that we've turned the situation around." On the football front, Infantino is credited with expanding the Men's World Cup from 32 teams to 48 for the 2026 tournament, which will be held in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. In March, FIFA approved Infantino's plans for a 24-team Club World Cup starting in 2021, despite top European clubs saying they would boycott the tournament. Infantino's re-election comes 2 days before France faces South Korea in Paris in the opening match of the Women's World Cup. Meanwhile, the field is now set for the quarterfinals at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup in Poland. Women's World Cup, Under-20 World Cup, Men's World Cup, my cup runneth over on the Sunny Side of Sports. My cup runneth over. But let's get back to that FIFA Under-20 World Cup in Poland. And let's take a look at the quarterfinal matchups. On Friday, Colombia will play Ukraine and Italy will take on Mali. And on Saturday, the United States will go against Ecuador and South Korea is matched against Senegal. The Senegalese boys advance Monday with a 2-1 victory over Nigeria. In results Tuesday, Mali edged Argentina on penalty kicks 5-4, after the teams drew 2-2 during regulation and extra time. The United States edged France 3-2. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to American striker Sebastian Soto, who had 2 goals for the USA. And in an all-Asian match Tuesday, South Korea edged Japan 1-0 on a late goal from Oh Se-hoon. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, former world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua issued a video Wednesday after surprisingly relinquishing his titles 4 days ago to Andy Ruiz in New York City. Let's listen to what AJ has to say.
What's happening, people? Hope you're well, live and direct from New York. Still out here, it's the afternoon. It's a nice day outside. A few days after the fight, we've had time to reflect, think about certain things. Losing isn't in anyone's nature, whether you're playing chess, PlayStation, or competing at a high level in sport or in business. And I took my first loss. How to explain that feeling? It's happened to me before, but I feel like those times I lost years back have made me a stronger person, and it hasn't really changed me and my work ethic, my mindset, and what I stand for. The people I'm still loyal to, my trainer Robert McCracken, my amateur coach at Finchley ABC, still going to work with these guys, they're still going to teach me everything I need to know. They've done a great job for me, not only inside the boxing ring, but mainly as a human. They really developed me as a person, which is important. And these guys have been with me for years, my whole management team, and to my supporters as well. I'm not going to change on you and act any different and change my ways. I'm still me, I'm still the same old Anthony Joshua. I'm not speaking in third person, but I'm still the same old Anthony Joshua. The same motivation and trying to better myself through boxing. So about the fight, look, the whole training camp team pulled together and done a great job. I started my camp off in Sheffield, which I normally do anyway. Was working there for about 6 weeks, 7 weeks, cracking on. Come to New York, continue my press tour. There was a lot of issues going on with this fight with Jerome Miller, Ortiz pulling out, Ruiz stepping in. But it all makes for the drama show, the entertainment of heavyweight boxing. So I travelled here, I've done my press conference, and then I've gone to Miami. But the setup was spot on. You know, I didn't go out, I just went for lunch one day, out in the open. Other days I had the chef in-house, was cooking, eating in-house and so on. So no contaminated food. I know there's a lot of like accusations and worries about what was wrong with me. But I want to tell you this, I'm a soldier and I have to take my ups and my downs. And on Saturday, I took a loss.
Anthony Joshua didn't just take a loss on Saturday. He took a humiliating loss to Andy Ruiz at Madison Square Garden in New York City. During Tuesday's show, I chatted with Namdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. And in Namdi's words, the AJ brand has been badly damaged. Meanwhile, promoter Eddie Hearn announced on Twitter that an immediate rematch between Andy Ruiz and former champion Anthony Joshua is in the works. But I got to go back to Namdi Moeta. He says Andy Ruiz holds the belts and he holds the cards. So nothing official about a rematch between Anthony Joshua and Andy Ruiz. So we'll have to wait and see whether that indeed happens. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the June 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hey,
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an examination of the presidential elections in Malawi and South Africa. Peter Mutharika and Cyril Ramaphosa both won. But do their victories reflect the will of the people? The power of incumbency on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Sleep deprivation has long been linked with having a higher risk for cardiovascular disease and even death from coronary heart disease. A study published in the journal Psychosomatic Medicine suggests one possible reason is that having a bad night of sleep can cause blood pressure to spike. The researchers studied 300 men and women between the ages of 21 and 70 with no history of heart problems. The participants wore portable blood pressure cuffs and had their blood pressure randomly measured over a two-day, two-night period. To gauge their sleep efficiency, they also wore devices that measured movement as they slept. The researchers found that the participants with lower sleep efficiency readings also showed an increase in blood pressure during the night and a higher systolic or upper number blood pressure the following day. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 22:30 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.